ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 स्वमातु स्विनगत्राय विश्वास्ता कबरास्रजा जिष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्ण कृपायासित स्वबंधने. Because of Mother Jasoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. While child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Commentary. As you cannot bind Krishna even with all the ropes in the house, then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. So this is in this commentary, the beginning is all the gopis, older gopis had come, and Jasoda, she was attempting to bind Krishna to the wooden grinding mortar. As we know, Krishna's name, another Krishna's name is Damodar, one who has been bound around the abdomen by the rope. Ultimately, she is bound by the Krishna is bound by the ropes of love. And because of Mother Jasoda's intense love for Krishna, Krishna agreed or allowed himself to be bound by the ropes. But first, Mother Jasoda, I think the word that is here is parishramam. Parishramam means hard labor. Right? Prabhupada uses that same word in his commentary in the 7th canto Bhagavatam about, what is it? Apavarga. Pa-pa-pa-ba-ma. Right? Parishrama means hard labor. Pa is pena, foaming at the mouth. Right? This is a little bit different though. Prabhupada uses that example of pavarga. Apavarga means liberation from pavarga, which is hard labor, foaming at the mouth. Pa, pa, huh?
Useless death.
Yes, useless endeavors.
Mithyu
death. Mature death, ultimately in death. And apavarga means liberation from such hard labor where one foams at the mouth at useless labor and ultimately simply dies. And it's just like, I won't get too far away from the story of Damodar, but I was also just recently reading, it was a conversation between Yamaraj and Yudhishthira Maharaj. There's that whole story when the five Pandavas, they were feeling thirsty, and Yudhishthira Maharaj sent his brothers to find water at the lake. And the first one to go was, I think it was Sahadev. Sahadev went to the lake to get some water for them to quench their thirst. And upon arriving at the lake, there was a bird there. And the bird told Sahadev, "First I have some questions I want to ask. If you take this water, you will die. So answer my questions first." And Sahadev was thinking, "What kind of bird is this? I'm not going to be controlled by some bird." And he took the drink of water and he died. And then I guess Yudhishthira sent again Nakula, and then after him went Bhima, then Arjuna, and each of them confronted the same bird, asked the answers to the questions, and none of them were to be interested in being influenced or pushed by this bird. And all of them, they died. by drinking the water without first answering the question of the bird. Then Yudhisthira Maharaj went to look, search for them. He came to that place, and the bird said to Yudhisthira Maharaj, they said, first you must answer my questions, otherwise you will die. And he saw his four brothers lying there, and he said, this must be a very powerful bird. And he said, what are your questions? And his first question, and he was thinking this bird must be some kind of demigod. Actually, it was Yamaraj. And he had four questions. The first question is, what is the news? And Yudhisthira Maharaj realized that this bird was not looking for, you know, the headlines on New York Times for an answer of what is the news. He realized that this bird was obviously, you know, asking for something a little deeper than what New York Times had to say. So he said, the news is that the sun is passing days and nights, and everybody, I think the sun was compared to be like fire, and the seasons, the change of seasons and the passing of day and nights was compared to be like the wood. And he said that, and all the human beings are like uncooked food that are put in the pot of the world. And as time is passing, you know, everyone is being cooked by the fire of kala, eternal time. He said, that is my answer to your question of what is the news. And then he said, my second question, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? And Yudhisthira Maharaj gave his profound answer, Ahanyahani Bhutani Ganshatiya Yamalayam Sheshastavam Ichchantin Kimaschaya Takparam. So the most amazing thing in the world is that every day hundreds and millions of living entities are being sent to the kingdom of death. You know, all different living entities, all different species of life. But still, everyone who is remaining is thinking that I will try to create a permanent situation for myself in this world. This is the most amazing thing. So the bird was satisfied with Yudhisthira Maharaj's second question. Third question is, what is the way? And Yudhisthira Maharaj gave us an answer that in the scriptures there are many ways which are given. One can perform austerities and penances, one can perform great sacrifices, but the real way that one is established by the great Mahajans. Therefore, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta, that if one wants to know what is the proper way, the path that one must follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans who have shown by their own example, who real religious principles are situated within their hearts. And the Mahajans have established the way, which is ultimately the path of bhakti, the path of devotional service to the Lord. And then his last question was, who is happy? Right. So Yudhisthira Maharaj's answer to that question, he says, that person who can work all day but be satisfied to accept only very little, simply to maintain his body in this world, he is a man who is happy in this world. And the bird was very satisfied with Yudhisthira Maharaj's answers. And he said, I will give you a benediction. What do you want for benediction? So he was thinking, well, my brothers have all left their bodies, and maybe you can restore them back to life. So it was Yamaraj who was testing Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Yudhisthira Maharaj's answers, of course, were profound. That pavarga means bondage. In the material world, everyone is bound. And apavarga is the path of liberation. And such great Mahajans, such as Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bodh Brahma, Mahajano Yenikata Sapanta, there are so many Mahajans. We must understand that Srila Prabhupada is also a great Mahajan who has given us the path. the perfect path to follow if one wishes to achieve liberation. So anyways, I don't know what made me think of that. I guess because I recently read that story about Yudhishthira Maharaj and his conversation with Yamaraj. I was thinking about this parishrama. We were talking about parishrama. Parishrama is hard labor, but here the word parishrama is being used in a different way. In this verse, we're talking about Mother Jasoda's hard labor. Was Mother Jasoda engaged in hard labor simply for her own personal enjoyment? No. The verse says, Drishtva Parishramam Krishna. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur talks about this in his commentary. In the beginning of the commentary, he is quoting the gopis who, Mother Jasoda, when she was trying to bind Krishna, she first took all the ropes from her house and she tied them to each other, and still every time she found that the rope was 2 inches too short. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained in a previous commentary, the reason why this rope was always two fingers too short is because Krishna still wanted to play. He had his desire, and he still wanted to steal yogurt. And therefore, what happened was is that he manifested within himself two potencies, which were called Satya Sankalpa Shakti and Vibhuti Shakti. Did I talk about this last time?
No, I
didn't. No. The Sankalpa Shakti, Satya Sankalpa Shakti, is Krishna's potency which fulfills each and every desire that Krishna has. That is his Satya Sankalpa Shakti. If Krishna has a desire, he has a potency that fulfills his desires. Right? And that's his Satya Sankalpa Shakti. He had a desire, he wanted to continue to play, and he wanted to continue to steal yoga. That was his desire. So that potency manifested, so that's why Mother Jasoda could not bind him. And his Vibhuti Shakti, his majestic features, are mystical potencies. Because certainly it was very mystical that Mother Jasoda was taking a rope and she was trying to bind Krishna with that rope. And even though she was adding more rope that could very easily fill that small 2 fingers, still, the rope was, every time she added rope, it was 2 fingers too short. So she told all the gopis, you go get all the ropes, everyone has, because everyone has ropes, because the children, the cowherd boys, they use it for binding the feet of the cows, when they're milking the cows. So all the ropes in the whole village were gotten. And Mother Jasoda was taking each and every one of those ropes, and she was adding it on, and every time she tried to pull it around Krishna, it was too, that was Krishna's Vibhuti Shakti potency. Sometimes he displays this Vibhuti Shakti or Leela Shakti. It's his potency which is very mystical. So these two potencies manifest, and therefore Mother Jasoda was not able to bind Krishna because of the manifestation of these two potencies. So all the cowherd women were saying to Mother Jasoda, as you cannot bind Krishna with all the ropes in the house, then it must be concluded that it is his good fortune that it should not be. Listen, Jasoda, give up this attempt. Though the village women advised in this way, Jasoda was determined. Even if evening comes and I tie together all the ropes in the whole village, I must find out just once the extent of my son's waist. Jasoda wanted to teach a lesson to her son. She wanted to teach. She has this anugraha, this feeling of she has to train her son. She has to teach him. She has to punish him, chastise him, and she has to protect him. She has to nurture him. That is her feeling of parental affection, and she's thinking that, you know, she also is covered by a potency. Which is Krishna's yoga maya, where she does not understand, or she cannot perceive the divinity of her son's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore it's described that even when Yasoda sees Krishna returning from the pasturing grounds with his cowherd friends, and the demigods are in the sky sending so many flower petals upon Krishna, Mother Yasoda, her love or her affection for Krishna, as Krishna being her son, is never disturbed. She just thinks, how wonderful my son is. Somebody else might question, why are the demigods throwing flowers on this boy? He must be somebody very special. And she was never thinking in this way. It's just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the analogy that if a mother's son becomes the president, still she thinks it's my son. Even if he becomes a powerful president or a king, it's my son. So in the same way, Mother Yasoda was thinking that, wow, the demigods, how wonderful my son is. The demigods like to offer flower petals to him. But she never stopped thinking that Krishna was possibly God. In fact, many times she would even explain to Krishna, when Krishna one time wanted the moon in the sky, Mother Yasoda was describing the moon as, Krishna thought it was, what is it, condensed butter, right? This explains in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, right? Krishna, I want that condensed butter. And Mother Yasoda is saying, well, you have to understand that even if that is condensed butter, it was made by a whole ocean of milk. And Krishna asked the question, wow, Mother, it must take a lot of cows to produce an ocean of milk. And Mother Yasoda said, no, actually, the person who created this ocean of milk, he's the same person who created the cows, and he didn't need the cows to produce this milk. And then Krishna asked, who is that person? And Mother Yasoda said, oh, you won't understand this, Krishna. He is Narayan. He's all-pervading. He's someone who cannot be easily seen. So you won't understand these things. So Mother Yasoda, that was the answer she gave to Krishna's question. Is who could possibly create an ocean of milk if the cows aren't creating this ocean of milk? But her way of thinking of... She never thinks that Krishna's God. She's covered by this potency of prema, which is love, which is so powerful that prema even covers Krishna. That is the nature of prema. Prema is so powerful that Krishna himself even forgets his own divinity, so that he can enter into that loving relationship and reciprocate more deeply. That's like what it's described when Queen Kunti describes in her prayers that she was very bewildered when she saw Krishna rubbing his eyes, and tears were coming from his eyes out of fear when Mother Yasoda was shaking the stick. And Queen Kunti was describing, when I see this, it is very bewildering to me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Queen Kunti, she has Aishwarya Bhav. Right? With Mother Yasoda, she has Madhuya Bhav. Madhuya means sweetness. Right? Or it's called Kevala Bhakti. Or another word which is called Jnana Sunya Bhakti. Jnana Sunya Bhakti means her knowledge of Krishna is the highest level of knowledge. There are different stages of knowledge. One is called Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means we obtain knowledge by a sense perception. Another is called Paroksha. It's another level of knowledge. Paroksha means we gain knowledge by hearing. Then there's Aparoksha. Aparoksha is that knowledge which is gained by impersonal realization. Then there's Adhoksaja. Adhoksaja is the fourth stage of knowledge, which descends from the spiritual platform and is revealed within the heart about this expanse of the spiritual world. And by no endeavors of our own can we possibly understand that. That knowledge is revealed by the grace of Krishna. But there's even a stage of knowledge which is beyond that, which is called Aprakrita. That Aprakrita is called Jnana Sunya Bhakti. The highest stage of knowledge is Jnana Sunya, means without knowledge. How is that the highest state of knowledge? Without Jnana Sunya means devoid of knowledge. So the highest state of knowledge is that which is experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. Their state of knowledge is they don't know that Krishna is God. All they know is Krishna. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my lover. That's all they know, and that's all they care about. And that, even when they see something very wonderful, it never disturbs that relationship they have with Krishna. And Krishna is so bound by that loving, spontaneous devotion that Krishna also becomes covered by that prema, by that love of his pure devotees. And he even forgets that he's God, so that he can enter into that relationship. How powerful is that prema? An example that's given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is just like when a bee enters into a lotus flower. When a bee enters a lotus flower, at night the lotus flower closes and the bee gets trapped. When the bee gets trapped, he's not disturbed because there's so much nectar in that lotus flower. So in the same way, Krishna gets covered. He enters into the heart of his pure, unalloyed devotees engaged in spontaneous devotional service. And he becomes covered by their prema. But for him it's no disturbance because there's so much nectar in their hearts because they have so much love for him, and he's simply reciprocating with them by being their son. He's reciprocating with Jasoda by being Jasoda's mischievous son, who's always engaged in mischievous activities and is always bringing great pleasure to his mother by his mischievous activities, by drawing her attention. Just like a young child wants to get attention, sometimes we have that experience. We might be sitting down and trying to have a conversation as a young child in the room is always reaching out and grabbing for the mother's attention. Not now, not now. I'm trying to listen. And then as soon as the child sees he's not getting attention, then when he does something, he'll go over to the bookcase and pull some books down and pull the car towels down. We have such experience, right? And some, the child needs to do something mischievous to attract him. So Krishna's the same way. But when Krishna attracts everyone's attention, he's actually pulling on everyone's heartstrings. He's drawing everyone's attention to his mischievous activities. And even all the gopis, they come and they complain to Yasoda what your son has done this morning. Do you know that your son came to my house? Not only did he steal all the butter that was hanging in the rafters, but he untied all the calves, and the calves went and drank all the milk from the cows, and he threw dirt on our house, and they started complaining. And after complaining for so long, he said, actually, Yasoda, we're really not so disturbed about your son's activities. How could you have such a wonderful son as Krishna? We wanted to come and tell you about your son, but actually we're very happy that he comes. And everybody's talking. Everyone's talking about Krishna's mischievous pastimes. Everyone's talking about Krishna's pastimes of killing the demons. Sometimes even Mother Jasoda, while she's churning the butter, she sings songs. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary, in the beginning of this chapter, when Mother Jasoda was churning the butter, she says, Jasoda personally churned because she wanted to make special butter for her son. How could her servants, who often burn the milk, do this properly? Driven by stubbornness arising from Vatsalya Prema, Yasoda concluded that others could not do the job properly. From that day forward, Yasoda resolved that she would prepare all Krishna's butter, milk, and other eatables. They would be so tasty that Krishna would no longer go to others' houses to steal. Yasoda was churning the best yogurt from among countless samples that she had prepared the day before with her own hands. The ladies of Raj poeticized all Krishna's childhood activities. Having collected all these songs, Mother Jasoda began to sing these songs in order to pacify her longing to see Krishna, who was sleeping in another room. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that if a person wants to remember something about sometimes what they'll do is they'll put it in the form of a song or a poem, and they'll keep on repeating it. Or sometimes, if they can't do it themselves, in Vedic times, they would bring it to a poet, and they would bring all the things that they were thinking about, and they would have the poet put it into poetry, so they could recite that poetry and remember what was the object of their meditation. So Mother Jasoda, while she's churning butter, preparing this butter for Krishna, she's singing these songs about all the things that Krishna, wonderful things Krishna had done, his killing of Putana, his killing of the Trinavarta demon, and she's singing all this poetry and absorbed in meditation and thoughts of her son. So this is Vatsalya Prema. And therefore Yasoda wanted to teach a lesson to her son. And in her persistence, she would not give up her attempt to bind the Lord. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very powerful statement. He says, in the competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee's determination always prevails. This is very powerful. We have to understand what this is. What does this mean? This means that whenever there is competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee always defeats Krishna. His determination. Why? Now, how could that be possible? Well, there are verses in the Bhagavatam that describe how Krishna becomes conquered by those devotees who always are absorbed in hearing his pastimes. He's otherwise unconquerable by anyone in the three worlds, but he can be conquered by devotees who are always absorbed in hearing about his wonderful pastimes, which is spoken by him and spoken by his devotees. He allows himself to be conquered. So Krishna allows himself to be conquered by this prema, by this love. So in the competition between Krishna and his devotee, the devotee's determination always prevails. Thus, seeing his mother's fatigue, Lord Krishna gave up his own persistence, became merciful, and allowed himself to be tied. Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king of all his potencies and illuminates all others, melts the heart of the Lord and turns it into butter. So what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying is, he describes it elsewhere also in Madhurya Kadambini. He says that the most powerful potency of the Supreme Lord is, anyone know what it is? What is that? That it's like compared to be like the all-conquering king which conquers all other kings. Anybody know what it is? Bhakta Vatsalya. It's called Bhakta Vatsalya. Bhakta Vatsalya means it's Krishna's desire to fulfill the desire of his devotees. Bhakta Vatsalya means Krishna reciprocates and becomes bound by the love of his devotees. So much so that Krishna is so much bound to a devotee, to his devotee's love, that Krishna will sometimes even break his own promise in order to protect his devotee's promise. That's how bound he is. Just like Krishna made a promise, he would take up no weapons in the battle of Kurukshetra. And Bhishma Dev made a vow. Bhishma Dev was Krishna's devotee. He made a vow, I have 5 arrows, and with each one of these 5 arrows, I will kill today, because Duryodhana was testing him. He thought Bhishma Dev was being, you know, he was being too soft. Yes, it's too soft with the Pandavas. He says, you're compromising. You have some affection for these boys, and you're not fighting proper. So Bhishma said, oh, you think so? And he had these 5 arrows. He said, with each one of these 5 arrows, today I will kill the Pandavas, and Krishna himself will have to stop me. So he made that vow. So Krishna made a vow he would take up no weapons in battle, but still he took up the chariot wheel and he approached Bhishma Dev and used it as a weapon to stop Bhishma Dev from killing Arjuna. Right? So he broke his own promise in order to preserve the promise of his devotee. As Prabhupada also gives the same example when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kauntiya Patijaninhi Name Bhakya Panashati. He says to Arjuna, You declare it boldly that my devotee is never vanquished. If you declare it, everyone will have to believe it, because if I say it, people may not believe. Because sometimes I act in contradictory ways. Sometimes I may say something and do something. But why is Krishna acting in a contradictory way? Only a devotee can understand. Because there's always something higher. And what's the highest for Krishna? Is to be conquered by the love of his devotee. That's for Krishna. That's the highest. And for the devotee who has unalloyed love for Krishna, he can conquer Krishna by his love. And so that Krishna may even be appeared to act in a contradictory way. And here we see Krishna, he had a desire. He wanted to go out and steal more yogurt, and he wanted to continue to play with his friends. That was his desire. But Mother Jasoda defeated that desire. Defeated it. Krishna couldn't do it anymore. His desire was completely destroyed. Because of what? Because of parishrama. Because of Mother Jasoda's hard labor. Here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will explain. Krishna's mercy, which reigns as the king, is Kripa Shakti, is Krishna's mercy, or Bhakta Vatsalya, which reigns as the king of all of his potencies and illuminates all others, melts the heart of the Lord and turns it into butter. The appearance of Krishna's mercy made his Satya Sankalpa and Vibhuti Shaktis immediately disappear. They appeared before because he wanted Satya Sankalpa Shakti, we said, was his potency to fulfill each and every one of his desires. He wanted to continue to steal butter, and he wanted to play with his friends. Therefore, Satya Sankalpa arranged it, and Mother Jasoda could not bind. But because of Mother Jasoda's hard labor, the Satya Sankalpa Shakti and Vibhuti Shakti disappeared, left his body. And Krishna became merciful. The appearance of Krishna's mercy made his Satya Sankalpa and Vibhuti Shaktis immediately disappear. The distance of two fingers was filled by the devotee's effort and hard work, parishrama, and the Lord's causeless mercy, Krishna Kripa. The Bhakta Nishta, firm faith of the devotee, seen in his tireless endeavors to serve and worship the Lord, and the Svanishta, the steady quality in the Lord, which brings forth his mercy upon seeing the devotee's effort and fatigue, caused Krishna to be bound. Very, very important. What Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is trying to give, showing in Krishna's Leela, he's showing that Svanishta, Krishna's Bhakta Nishta means a firm conviction of the devotee. I must do this. Jasoda was so convinced, I must tie up my son. She was thinking, if I don't tie up my son, he's going to get himself into more trouble. And she was thinking, I have to protect him from getting into more trouble. I must tie him up. So that was Bhakti Nishta. She was convinced by her, and she was perspiring. Not only was she perspiring because of tying so many ropes, but she had been chasing Krishna all around with that stick. And Krishna stopped and said, Mother, please don't come any closer to me. And Mother just sort of stopped and said, if you come any closer, I'll perform more mischief. And then Krishna started to cry. He says, why? And Mother just sort of said, if you're so afraid of my stick, then why did you steal the butter and distribute all the butter? Krishna says, Mother, I promise I won't do it again. Now please just put down the stick. First, Krishna cried false tears. They were false tears because he was pretending to cry to be in anxiety. But then, when Mother Jasoda was so determined, real tears came. And he was crying. And that's why Kunti Devi was bewildered. Kunti Devi was bewildered because when she saw Krishna afraid of Mother Jasoda, she became bewildered because she was thinking Krishna's God. She has Aishwarya above. She sees Krishna as God. Mother Jasoda, she doesn't have that Aishwarya above. She sees Krishna as my son. She's on a higher platform than Kunti Devi. So, because she has Aishwarya above, she's thinking, Krishna's really afraid. She wouldn't be bewildered if Krishna was just pretending to be afraid. It would all make sense. It's very easy to accept that Krishna's pretending to be afraid. He's God, he's pretending to be afraid, and therefore he's crying. And there's nothing bewildering about that to Kunti Devi. But why was she so bewildered? Because he was really afraid. He was really afraid, and those were not false tears anymore. He was crying out of fear from the stick of Mother Jasoda. And therefore she says, when I see this sight, it's very bewildering to me. You're God and you're afraid. You're fear personified, death personified is afraid of you. And you're afraid of the stick of Mother Jasoda. How is this possible? So Kunti Devi is just explaining like that. And Jasoda, she has, it's described right here, she has this bhakta nishta, firm faith. What is that firm faith? It's seen in his tireless endeavors to serve and worship the Lord. That's bhakta nishta. Tireless endeavors. Just as Mother Jasoda refused to accept the challenges of the gopis. Why don't you stop, Jasoda? You've done enough. Can't you see it's your son's fate? He's not going to be tied up today. And she said, no, I want to see the extent of my son's waist. So she was determined. That was her bhakti nishta, which is compared to the firm faith of the devotee. Has firm faith that by doing this service that Krishna wants me to do, if a devotee has that firm faith, that even in the face of adversity, in the face of obstacles, the devotee will continue to serve because he has that faith. That by this endeavor, I will please Krishna. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and all activities depend upon me and work under my direction. Such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you're fully conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you do not act in that consciousness and act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So Krishna says, in this endeavor, you just remember me and I will always protect you. You'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you do not hear me, if you do not think of me, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So a devotee has that firm faith that he's always hearing the words of his spiritual master in his heart, the desire of his spiritual master within his heart. He's always understanding that with firm faith, that if I simply continue to render this service, then what happens? Kripa Shakti. One gets mercy. That's what happened. That Krishna was, Kripa Shakti was manifested and his heart melted. And when he saw the parishrama, the hard labor of Mother Jasoda, working so hard to bind, his own heart melted like soft butter. And became merciful to her. And allowed himself to be bound. That is his svanishta. The steady mercy upon seeing the devotee's effort and fatigue caused Krishna to be bound. In the absence of these two, the rope remained two fingers too short. But when bhakti nishta and svanishta are present, the Lord can be bound. In this pastime, Krishna showed Yasoda and the whole world that only love can bind the Supreme Lord. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to this Damodar Leela, part of his commentary. There's so many commentaries in this chapter, but it is part of his commentary to Damodar Leela, the Leela that we should have been doing. Is today the last day of Kartik?
That's right.
So we should chant Dhammadurastakam today, right?
Yeah?
So we can end here by chanting Dhammadurastakam. Okay. Oh, is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
We can do that? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. You have to do anyway, ma'am. You were talking about how Mother Yashoda Bhakti Nishtha, that we can see in Prabhupada too.
Yes.
He was going back to
Prabhupada showed that in every aspect, in every way. He had firm faith in the order of his Guru Maharaj. We always worship Prabhupada in that sense, although Prabhupada was not limited to that one of his wonderful features, one of his shaktis, one of his potencies. His unlimited potencies, he's not limited simply to that. But that's what captures the heart of his followers, was Prabhupada's bhakti nishta, his firm faith in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's order, and his compassion on the fallen conditioned souls. that I must somehow or other give them Krishna, as you prayed in the Jaladutta. He says, I don't know why you brought me here, Krishna, but you must have some purpose. I don't know if they'll be able to hear your message, but if you give them their message, please empower me in such a way so they'll be able to understand your message.
He was going back to the agent of the Sandhya Shipping Company and booking, oh, where is your next ship coming? But he never lost the hope that his poem will be language.
Not only that, but we should understand that Prabhupada prayed in that prayer, Krishna, I pray that you deliver them. If Krishna always upholds the prayers of his devotees, just think what mercy this world has by Prabhupada's prayer. Just think how much Kripa Shakti, because Krishna will never neglect the prayer of his pure devotee. And he was praying, I pray that you deliver them for everyone. That was his prayer on the Jaladutta, and as it was docked in the Boston Harbor. So we see in the determination between the devotee, when there's competition between the devotee and the Lord, the devotee's determination always prevails. Prabhupada was so determined that he could face two heart attacks, no institutional backing, and had only one thing fixed in his mind, his bhakti nishtha, was his desire to deliver the fallen conditioned souls and please his Guru Maharaj. We're so indebted to that. That is mercy. It was Nitagor Sundar Prabhu and I were just discussing before coming up here. So that Prabhupada explained that when Krishna came, he set a condition. He said, first you surrender unto me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. And Prabhupada said, but when Lord Chaitanya came, he said that he took away that condition. He said, you don't even have to surrender. Just simply take what I've come to offer. Just simply take it. That condition was removed. And that, and what we were talking about, that is the birth. Because of that mercy, that is the birth of gratitude. A devotee is always grateful for the mercy he's received by the grace of Krishna's pure devotee. When he sees that something's come without any qualification, without having done anything to deserve it, but yet one has been so fortunate to come in contact with bhakti by the grace of Krishna's pure devotee, then genuine gratitude takes birth in the heart. Because without gratitude, there can be no bhakti. Gratitude is such an important quality. But as soon as he understands the value of what he's received by coming in contact with Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pure devotee, Krishna's devotees, then that is the birth of real gratitude. We were talking about this the other day about thanksgiving. It was a form of gratitude, but gratitude for material prosperity. But real gratitude is when one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, and even in the face of adversity, the devotee always remains grateful. And I was actually using as an example our godmother Nirguna Prabhu, who wrote a letter about how grateful he was to everything Krishna was doing to him, even lying on his deathbed. He wrote such a beautiful letter. And I'm so grateful that Krishna has, he must have used the word gratitude about 8 times. He was saying, I'm so grateful to Krishna for allowing me to see what I'm seeing now. I'm so grateful for Krishna for taking away my attachments. I'm so grateful to Krishna's devotees who are so caring and so kind to me. And here's somebody from an external point of view could feel sorry for, you know, because he's externally appears to be suffering, but he internally was grateful that Krishna's so kind to me. And it's very powerful. Here's somebody who's gotten Prabhupada's mercy. Obviously, Prabhupada's mercy is Prabhupada Kripa. There's Krishna Kripa and there's Prabhupada Kripa. that he can be so fearless in the face of death and grateful. So we were talking about how gratitude takes birth in the heart when because Lord Chaitanya is so kind and so merciful that he comes to give and taken all conditions away and simply says, please just take. Of course, to take, sometimes we have to give something up, just like a child playing with it. Prabhupada gives the example, if a child is playing with a knife, if you try to take the knife away from the child, it becomes more dangerous because the child resists. But if you give the child a nice colorful toy, the child drops the knife to take the toy. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us the holy name. So we, in order to take the holy name and fully embrace it, we have to give up a few things that are holding us back from chanting purely. So, but he gave us the holy name before we even asked for it. And he gave us Krishna's pure devotee, even though we didn't ask for it. He gave us Krishna's devotees. He gave us a society of devotees. He gave us everything. Even though we weren't looking for, we didn't know what we were looking for, but we somehow came in contact by the grace of Krishna's pure devotee. So that's the birth of gratitude. And gratitude will grow in the heart of a person who actually appreciates and reciprocates that gratitude with service, with firm conviction and faith that by so doing, Prabhupada says a disciple can never repay the debt. Anyone who thinks he can repay the debt to the spiritual master is a joker. He uses that word in the Bhagavatam. He's simply a joker if he thinks that he can repay the debt to the spiritual master for what he has given. So one can never fully repay the debt. So, but still one has to try. So therefore we have to try to repay the debt to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. This opportunity for Krishna consciousness in this life. Prabhupada said, don't make the spiritual master come back. One devotee asked Prabhupada, if we don't go back to Godhead in this life, you'll come back and get us? And Prabhupada said, yes, don't take advantage of it. Don't make your spiritual master come back. Okay, so we can chant Dhamma Dharasta compare.